in the precious name of Jesus, who is our Savior, our fortress, our Lord. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. I invite you, if you will, to take your Bibles and turn to our text, the one that Pastor just read for us, a reading from John chapter 8, actually beginning with verses 31 and following. If you're a visitor with us this evening and don't have a Bible at home, we encourage you to take one of the pew Bibles as our gift to you so that you can read and study God's precious word throughout the week. Jesus calls us to be faithful. Jesus calls us to be faithful to him, and the way we do that today is to be faithful to his word, to his teachings, to the Holy Scriptures. May God bless my speaking and your hearing, for Jesus' sake, amen. Our text for tonight reminds us that Jesus was speaking to those who were believers in him. As you know, throughout Scripture, when Jesus preaches and teaches and moves around among the people, he spoke to all sorts of people. Many times, Jesus spoke to unbelievers, and it was by his word, by the power of the Holy Spirit at work through that word, that Jesus caused those unbelievers to become believers. Sometimes when Jesus spoke, he spoke to make believers. You know, those who acted as if they believed. Sometimes the scribes and Pharisees and others like them, they would have been examples of those make believers. They acted as though they were faithful. They acted as though they were the people of God. But Jesus knew their hearts. And he knew and he told them that their hearts were far from him. And finally, there were those who Jesus spoke to who believed in him, who listened to him, who followed his word. And that's what we see in our text for this evening. As Jesus spoke, verse 31 says, to the Jews who had believed in Jesus, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus says, if you hold to my word, then you will be my disciples, and you will live. You'll have life to the full. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He meant life in this world, but more than that, life forever. Full life, long life, life forevermore through faith in Jesus. So, what do you think of when you think of truth? Maybe a better question is, are any of the images, do any images come to your mind of how death sometimes brings freedom? What is it, what symbols might we recognize so that we know that death brings freedom and life springs out of death? Well, one of the ones that I think of, and you may know this one too, this is called the Masada. The Masada is in Israel. It's a 1,300 feet high fortress that was built many, many years ago by Herod the Great. Herod the Great, you remember, was the king of Israel, and when he was king over the land, he decided that he would build a fortress outside of Jerusalem, an escape, if you will, literally and figuratively, on the Sea of the Dead Sea, on the shores of the Dead Sea. Herod was a wicked king, and he wanted to make sure that if it was necessary, he could escape Jerusalem, escape the palace, to be able to go to a fortress where he would be protected. And sure enough, that's exactly what was needed. The Romans in 73 AD came and destroyed Jerusalem, fulfilling what prophecy said, that not one stone would be left standing upon another. Remember when Jesus said that to his disciples? They'd come out of the temple and the disciples were impressed with the temple. And Jesus said, I tell you, the time will come when not one stone will be found on another. There were Jews in Jerusalem who had escaped Jerusalem then and went to the Masada. Here's what an another impression might have been that that fortress looked like. And there, in 73 AD, thousands of Jews died. They died as the Romans built siege ramps and finally overtook the fort. And all of them died. There was freedom through death. Life sprung forth, freedom sprung forth, because they took their stand and they were willing to die for the sake of freedom. How about in our country? Maybe an example that would be one you know of is this fortress. Not the Masada, but the Alamo in San Antonio. You may remember your history here in the United States that in 1836, there were those several hundred who took their stand at the Alamo. Against the overwhelming forces of General Santa Anna, these pioneers, these freedom fighters, gave up their lives too, so that almost every one of them died. Out of their death came freedom. Freedom for those who followed after them. Freedom for those who wanted to be a part of the United States. Well, obviously, these would be several examples. The greatest example, the best example, the true example from Scripture of life coming out of death is symbolized by this, the hard, harsh, stark wood of the cross. Jesus said, if you trust in me, if you believe in me, if you are faithful to me, my word abides in you. And as my word abides in you, my word gives life, and there is freedom. Jesus knew that there were times when his people would stray from his word, stray from following him, and Jesus would call us back, his people, to his word. From John chapter 8, that's exactly what we see. Those who believed in him needed to be reminded to be faithful to him and faithful to his word. And in his word, in Jesus, they would know true freedom and true life. Well, they balked at that. After all, Jesus, we're Abraham's children, and we've never been in bondage to anyone. Well, that's true if you don't remember any of the history of the people of Israel and how many times they were in bondage throughout the centuries, bondage to many. And now they were in bondage to sin and death and the power of the devil. And only through Jesus could they truly be free, free from that bondage that would keep them enslaved and cause eternal death. At Jesus' time, there were those who were looking for an earthly king. They believed and they thought that the Messiah for whom they had been waiting would be one who would rescue them, not from sin and death and the power of the devil, but that would rescue them from the captivity of the Romans. They had hoped, they had planned, they had surmised, that's this kind of an earthly king. Throughout the centuries, in many countries across the world, there are those who look at Jesus wrongly. They look at Jesus as a reformer, as a radical, as a political figure. And if Jesus gives freedom, then they would be free. But they didn't realize that he's more than a model for rebellion, more than a model for earthly freedom. Jesus is freedom itself. The truth is that in Jesus, there is the gift of life. It may be that there is political persecution. It may be that we have difficulty in lives, in our own life, in our country, and we're certainly battling much of that today. But what Jesus calls us to is freedom in the gospel. Jesus knows that throughout the centuries, throughout the world, throughout time, his people need to be redirected, encouraged, re-guided, reformed, we might say, on this Reformation weekend. And so God has sent reformers. One of those great reformers we celebrate, of course, Martin Luther. Luther, almost 500 years ago, now the 499th anniversary, the 499th anniversary of October the 31st, 1517, when he nailed the 95 Theses to the castle door of the church in Wittenberg, there proclaiming freedom in the gospel, guiding people back to the Word of God. Because you see, it's only and always through the Word of God that there can be true freedom. The truth is this. The truth is that we are bound by sin and death and the power of the devil. These three, the evil trinity, these three, the unholy trinity, seek our destruction and our death. And it's always been that way since the Garden of Eden. From the very beginning, our very first parents, Adam and Eve, bound by sin and death and their evil desires and flesh. The truth is, in our text, that Jesus is the one who breaks these bonds. None of those in the past, and we ourselves, can't break free from sin and death and the power of the devil. And that's what the Reformation is all about. Reminding us, redirecting us, guiding us back to Jesus. It's not an accident this evening that Jeff brought in the cross. And our eyes are fixed on the cross and the reminder of what Jesus did for us. It wasn't an accident that Colin and Jeff brought in the Bible, bringing us back to the Word of God. The center of who we are and what we do, literally and figuratively, the center of us and our worship, the Word of God, and the truth in Jesus that comes from that Word, the truth that sets us free. And it is this truth. It is the truth of Christ that brings true freedom. And what we're called to this night, this weekend, and all our lives long as Christians, as believers, as followers of Jesus, is to be faithful to His Word. In His Word, to find Jesus. In His Word, to find forgiveness and freedom. In His Word, to know that Jesus came to live among us, to live as a human being, to live and to die and to be raised again for our freedom and for our forgiveness. And that's why in the Lutheran Church, we depend so much upon and why so much of our teaching is about the Bible and following the teachings of Christ. I don't know if you saw it this evening as you came in, but if you didn't, please take time to look at the very special Bible in the case in the entryway to the worship center. That's an original German Bible from the 1500s. That Bible was produced just shortly after the death of Martin Luther, during exactly that same time frame. Luther was one of the great reformers that God sent the church, because the church had steered away to other teachings and false doctrines, away from Jesus, and it was time to be directed again to His Word, to Jesus, and the freedom that comes through Him. That's why we've invited our friends, the Gideons, to be with us again tonight. If you haven't seen it, look at the wonderful display tonight in the entryway. They have some 18 different translations of the Scripture, and the one that I have to show you tonight is from Vietnam. It's the Vietnamese translation of the New Testament. So that all people all over the world of every language and nation and tribe can be faithful to the Word, faithful to Jesus, and to follow Him in life and through life to life eternal. This weekend we celebrate Braille Sunday, and also available near the German Bible are examples of Braille. If you'd like to pick one up tonight, I believe we have copies for any of the children, any of the adults would like to take one. Mentioned in our service folder for tonight in Life at Holy Cross are the different versions of the Bible, the different books of the Bible that our Braille Center has produced for over 40 years now, so that the people of God could have the Word of God in a language they understand. To be faithful to the Word, faithful to Jesus, and in him to find the precious gift of life. That's the message of the Reformation. And you see, we are the church of the Reformation. The Lutheran Church, yes. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, yes. Holy Cross Lutheran Church, you and I. We're the people of the Reformation. And God intends that we be guided back to his word every day. How are you doing in that? Are you reading your Bible? Are you listening to Jesus daily? Are you gathering for study of his word? Are you doing family devotions? Are you listening? Are you faithful to the word of God? Jesus calls us to be reformed today and now, always to him, to fellowship in him. And it's said that there are three great reformers throughout history. One is God himself, the cosmic reformer, who knew that it would be necessary for him to send his very own son, Jesus, into the world to bring his people, to bring his church back to truth, the truth and freedom of the gospel. Another of the great reformers is Martin Luther, and others like him, Philip Melanchthon, and 100 years before that, Johannes Huss, all guiding people to the Word of God in a language they could understand so that Jesus would be real to them and Jesus would live in them. And the third great reformer is you. The third great reformer of history is you, and it's me. Look in the mirror and see yourself. God calls us to be reformed, to be changed, to be guided, to be founded on the Word, and then to share that same Word with others. Listen again to the first words of our text, and know that Jesus was not just speaking to the Jews before him, but Jesus was speaking to you and to me. Jesus says to you and to me, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." God bless you as you live joyfully in the truth and in his word. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the scriptures, in the word of God, Jesus, the living word, who gives life. For Jesus' sake, let it be so. Amen.